You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Bruce Columbia and Paul, who's not at the end of the bench, he's going to be preaching for us today. So, Lord, I just pray, Father, that your anointing is continually on Paul today, Father. I pray that we would receive what you've put in his heart for us today, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Good morning, church. I must boast in Jesus a little bit before I get started. For some of you who have been here a few services, this is going to get really redundant, but some of you haven't. So I was at my wit's end, basically. I had been running for weeks on end. My jobs were crazy. Things weren't falling into line like I needed them to. I was just had it. And I was just crying out for manna, God's provision, God's strength, God's power, God's working in my life. I was just crying out. I sent Andrea, my wife, a text. Hey, I need some manna in my life now, because I was drowning. You know, I'm sure some of you have been there, and I'm telling you what, Monday, breakthrough, one after the other, was just, things just started falling in line just like that. And I just praise Jesus that he's still working miracles out in all our lives. And I couldn't have got through this week without him working these things out, because I was just so pulled in 100 different directions. Is ridiculous. And then my wife, being the wonderful woman the Lord's blessed me with, she said, as a great helpmate, she said, you need to go away on Wednesday and just prepare and be with Jesus for the day. So she cleared my calendar, as Corrine was saying, and she made a way so that I could get away, so that I could focus on Jesus for this week. And I just praise her and boast in her as well. Thank you, my love. So let's get started. As one of the pastors here, Joe's here, Randy's here, Mike's here, Mark's in the back, Tyler's with the Westside kids, Logan's celebrating his 10th anniversary with his bride, and then Steve, obviously, Joe talked about. But as a pastor, there's a burden that's put on our heart. There's a calling, absolutely, but there's also a responsibility that goes with that calling. And I want to share some of that with you today so you understand the weight that we carry as we minister and as we've been talking about teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. So in Ephesians 4, 11 through 6, it says this. Now these are Ephesians 4, 11 through 6. Did I say first Ephesians as well? 16. Thank you. 11 through 6, we're going backwards today? Okay. I don't know how you guys read backwards, but let's work on that. Okay. Let me start over again. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I want to pause there for a second. As a pastor, it says my responsibility, Joe's responsibility, Randy's, Mike's, Mark's, Tyler's, Logan's, in this local church, although there's many, many pastors out there in different local churches, the goal is the kingdom of heaven. It is our responsibility to equip the saints for the work, for God's work. It's not our responsibility to do all the work. It's not our responsibility to do his work and build his church. It's our responsibility to equip the saints to do his work and build his church. So that's where we're starting from today. I'm going to finish this up, and why it's so important that you grasp onto this is that you all have a job to do. It's whether you're going to step up and do that job, but I'm going to tell you the benefits and why it's so important that you do. So let's carry on. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. You ever notice how through the Gospels and through the New Testament, it's always talking about speaking? You guys ever realize that? They're always saying you got to proclaim, you got to speak, you got to declare. It's not just about keeping it to yourself. It's always about speaking, using your mouth that produces sound waves to make intelligible verbal communication. So keep that in mind. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is head of his body, the church. Pay attention. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Now, here we go. As each part does its own special work, remember, you are all part of the body. So as each part does his own special work, his or her, it helps the other parts grow. See, that's a forgotten thing. We forget about that in our Western church culture. We think it's a one-man show. It's up to certain people to do the work of building the church, building the kingdom, of maturing and growing. But it's not. It's, as each part does its own special work, that's not just a few parts, that's each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. You have to do your part, otherwise the other parts aren't going to grow. Does that make sense? If you're not doing your part, you're hurting your brothers and sisters. See, your part is a benefit to your brothers and sisters, whether you realize it or not. And it's important. It's not to be taken lightly. We all have a part. We are all who have said yes to Jesus, disciples of Christ, and have a part to play in the building of his church. Special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. If you're not doing your part, your brothers and sisters aren't going to be able to be as healthy as they could be, growing as much as they could be, and as full of love as they could be, because you have a part to play, and it works perfectly when you're playing your part. And what's it mean if you're not playing your part? It's not working perfectly. We have to play our part, saints. Because you don't need... It's funny. If you look at a disciple, if you look at... In the Gospels, you know, the 12 disciples, the 70 he sent out two by two, and they're called disciples of Christ. Well, then in Acts, the same thing goes on. All the people, they're disciples that are going out and spreading his word. And then we're in Acts part B, and we're disciples as well. And guess what? There's no difference between the word disciple in the Gospels and the word disciple in Acts. We're all disciples of Jesus Christ if we have said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. If you have believed in your heart that he is who he says he is. That means... you are his disciple. That means you have a part to play. That means you are vitally important in the kingdom of God. And you just have to step up and do your part. So that's why we're going to talk about what we're talking about, because this weighs on me. I don't care about anybody who has a special calling. Yes, I'm no different with being a pastor. I'm just a guy. I got a normal job, but I have a different calling. But guess what? I'm still just a disciple of Jesus Christ, just like everyone else is. There's nothing special about the eight of us that lead this church. We just have a different calling. That's it. A different function, a different part to play. But everybody is a disciple of Jesus Christ, no matter where you are or what you've done. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you have a part to play. So we're going to talk about, I get the fortunate part, or the fortunate task. We've been talking about all these different commandments of Jesus of make disciples. Look at this, closest to all you guys too. It stands out a little bit. Oh, that's nice. I get to talk about go and make disciples today. So we're going to talk about the Great Commission. It's part of what we've been talking about. We've been going through all the different things, Matthew 28:20. We're going to back up, go to Matthew 28:19-20 and get going from there. It says, go therefore and make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Does it say bring, invite, bring a friend, call a friend? Does it say any of that? No, it says go and make disciples. It's not about bringing someone to church. Our small group, our men's breakfast, these are all great and wonderful things. Or one of our wonderful ladies' events, or our children's camp, or Rise Up, or youth group, or anything like that. It's not about bringing someone to these things. It's about going and making disciples. You are all who have said yes to Jesus, disciples of Christ. You need to go and make disciples. There's no ifs, ands, buts, and what's about it. This is a problem in our Western church culture where we think it's a one-man show, that guy's going to take care of all of the building of the church, all of the growth of the church. He's going to help people mature, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the scriptures. That's a Western culture that is bad, and it's not a Christian culture. And we need to break that. Yeah. And we need to start stepping up and doing our part. Yeah. As Christians, as disciples, we need to go and make disciples. Now, some of you, let me just a little reference, just to encourage you a little bit. 39 out of the 40 miracles that happened in the book of Acts, did not happen in a church setting. They happened outside of the church because people went. So just keep that in mind. It's about going, not about bringing. Although that happens later. Anyways, so make. Now, this is very controversial, I know, which I love the controversies, all right? It gets people all fired up. It gets people squirming in their seats. And then it gets people like looking at me like, this crazy, crazy guy. So make disciples. People are like, well, I can't make a disciple. Well, it says go and make disciples. So obviously you have a part to play in it, because let me tell you something. If people don't hear about Jesus, they're not going to know about Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus. But often we think of go and make disciples as, well, we're going to go evangelize, right? It's just evangelism. Some people lean that way. Other people lean, well, go and make disciples means we have to help them along in the sanctification, the maturing process, the teaching them and training them and all these kind of things. So let me just do a quick survey here. Be bold. Raise your hands. It's not a big deal. No one cares. You're not like doing anything obnoxious here. So me, I tend to lead towards more on the evangelism side. Can anyone relate to that? They want to share Jesus and get people saved. And that's what, when it says go and make disciples, that's where you see this passage going. Okay, good. Me too. Okay. Then there's the other side, like my wife, Andrea. She says, I want to train people. I want to see them grow in Christ. I want to see them mature. I want to see them on fire for Jesus. Yeah? Okay, good. Normally, it's about 50-50. Obviously, we're a little bit light on this side over here. Thank you for supporting me, those of you. But let me tell you something. Guess what? We're all wrong. We're all wrong. There's not one side or the other side. See, when Andrea and I got married, we became one flesh. She's more on the discipleship side. I'm on the evangelism side. Well, guess what? Lucky for you guys to get her when you get me, because you don't get one without the other. And that goes for this as well. You can't just share Jesus and not train people. And you can't just train people without sharing Jesus. Part of making a disciple is getting them to know Jesus and then training them. So you got to do both. No choice. Go and make disciples. Be obedient. That's what we've been working on. It's a command. You don't have the option. And this is, so I like to rest that debate. And so this is how I look at this passage. This is how I look at this passage. Go, make, teach, and repeat. Go, make, teach, and repeat. You got to get out of your front door. You got to be bold. You got to take a risk. You got to share people with Jesus with people. Then it says to make. Well, they need to hear about Jesus, to know about Jesus, to say yes to Jesus. So you got to do that part. And then you have to teach them in everything that he has commanded, which is also part of making disciples. And then guess what? If we have a passion of going, making, teaching, and we pass that on, it's this cycle. Because then the new disciple is going to go, make, teach. And then he's and she's going to go make, teach. And then it's this beautiful, beautiful cycle that just keeps going over and over again. And that's how the growth of the body of Christ will happen. Not by one man shows, although Jesus works through all of us knuckleheads, but through the growth of people going out and sharing Jesus with people they come in contact with. It's a cycle and it works great. We all have to partake and do our part in the building up of the church. So from there is why I say that is because I think it's important that we understand a couple scriptures that we're going to go through next and of why this thing of multiplication is so important, because I don't think Jesus wants us to keep him to ourselves. I mean, we've had great message by Mark and Jody about serving, but let me ask you a question. What is the greatest need of all people? Jesus. People don't need you. They don't need me. They don't really need clothes and food and all these kind of things. They are souls in need of a Savior, every single person. Every person is a soul in need of a Savior and in desperate need of Jesus. Desperate need of Jesus. They need Jesus. If you really, truly want to serve someone, although all these other ways of serving are vital and important in the body of Christ, you need to share Jesus with people because that's what they need more than anything else. And so in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9, Jesus says, listen. Jesus doesn't always say, listen. It's in red ink, and those of you who have red ink in your Bibles, he doesn't always say, listen. A lot of times he just starts teaching and people are already paying attention, but he says, listen. Do you think it might be important that we pay attention to what's coming next? Listen, he says. It's like when my kid's trying to, I got 3-year-old obnoxious boys, maybe you saw them up here. They're trying to run out into the street. I'm grabbing them. Listen to me. You don't run in the street, you're going to die. Maybe that's what Jesus is saying. Listen to me. If you don't listen to me, you're going to perish. So let's read this. I want you to pay attention. There's four different people that Jesus is giving examples of in here. Okay? Pay attention to it. Listen, Jesus says. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Person number one. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Let me pose a question. Hellbound, heavenbound, this person. Okay? Person number two. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Question again. Hellbound, heavenbound. You're all very smart people out there. I'm sure you're catching where this is going. Person number three. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So they did not bear grain. Again, hellbound, heavenbound. And let me, before I go on, let me say this. God works in mysterious ways. There's not a person in here can tell you who's saved and who's not saved. That is a working between the soul and God alone. You don't have the choice to go out and tell people you're saved or you're not saved. But listen to what Jesus is saying. He's describing people, and you answer the question. Is that person hellbound or heavenbound? Person number four. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Obvious. Hellbound, heavenbound. Pretty obvious, right? Jesus is giving this example because he wants to clear some things up. That's why he does what he does, is he wants to teach people what's right and what's wrong. He wants to teach people how to truly walk in freedom, how to truly walk in all that he created them to walk in. But see, that's part of our Western church culture, is we're not multiplying. As individuals, as disciples of Christ, we're not multiplying. We're doing the good church member thing, right? I come to church, I might go to a small group, I might help out a little bit here, but I'm not really making disciples, I'm not really sharing Jesus, but that's good enough, right? Because it's a gift, it's free, I don't earn it. Absolutely, you don't earn it. But yet, what do you think Jesus wants? I went to a wedding the other day, it was awesome, this big, bad, you-know-what Marine was getting married, and I looked at him, I go, man, that's an honor to know that I'm protected. We as Americans are protected by this stud. All right? This big burly guy, right? And I'm going, that's what a Marine should look like. Because think about it. Do you really want some sissy la la pansy wimp defending us? No, you don't. Right? Well, what do you think Jesus wants? People that keep him to himself or multipliers? He wants solid soldiers out there spreading his good news, advancing his kingdom, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He doesn't want sissy la la wimpy hiding up in an upper room Christians. Because what? He sent us the Holy Spirit. Remember? We don't have to hide anymore. Amen. The days of hiding are gone and over with. That's why the Holy Spirit came into that room, shook it all about, and sent everybody out to go and make disciples. So we don't have to be scared. We don't have to fear. We have to go, make, teach, and repeat. So a couple of things I want to talk about before we move on. About what the Bible says about being saved. Again, I reference. I cannot tell you who's saved and who's not saved. That is not my job. That is not anyone's job. And if someone comes and tells you that they know who's saved and who's not saved, tell them, get behind me, Satan. I have nothing to do with you right now. Okay, that is between the person, the soul, and Jesus. Okay, so keep that in mind. Let's move forward with this. Because he works in mysterious ways. He absolutely does. And there's no, sometimes we just can't figure it out. Saints, we just got to roll with it. Because Jesus works, and we just got to love it and roll with it. So, good soil, good seed, and good crops. What would that look like? I believe it's a combination of a few things. The word is near you in your mouth. Excuse me, Romans 10, 8 through 10. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with one heart, or with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So a couple things here. Number one, we have to believe in our hearts that Jesus is who he said he is, right? He died on the cross for our sake. We all are sinners. Every single person out there have fallen short of the glory of God that he created you for. We all need a perfect sacrifice to restore that relationship that God created us for. That sacrifice came in the form of Jesus. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. So we have to believe that in our heart. But not only, it's not only about the cross. Because 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and he was gone. He conquered death, rising to all glory, giving us eternal life. So there had to be a sacrifice, but there also had to be a conquering of death. And that's what he did, because death was what we deserve for our sins, but he had to conquer that. So we all get eternal life because of Jesus, right? So we have to believe that in our heart. But then it also says this. It says, with your mouth, you must confess. Again, back to this whole speaking thing, you have a mouth for a reason, to use it. It's not just something that we keep to ourselves and button up. It's something that we are to use. That's why he created us. And remember, he created us perfectly, and every part is knit together and fits together perfectly to perform the work he has set out for us. So we have a mouth. We have to speak it with our mouth. We have to confess that Jesus is Lord. But carrying on that, 1 Corinthians 12:3 says this, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. This is important. This is very, very important. Jesus wants to be your Lord. He died for a reason. He died for all of us to be your Lord, because his plans and his purposes, seems how he created you, are for your benefit and for your good. If you truly want to walk in freedom, you will actually, although we hate it as Americans, you will obey his commands, his precepts, his decrees. He doesn't say it just for his benefit. He actually does it for our benefit, because he created us for purpose, and that's to walk in freedom. So you need to understand that he has our best in mind. The Creator doesn't create junk. He doesn't create things he doesn't like. He definitely doesn't create things he doesn't love. He creates people, souls, for a reason, to serve him, so you'll understand that truly walking in freedom is understanding and obeying his commands. So I say that because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Steve's been doing a great job on the Holy Spirit and the need of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to move on and let that moment go as we move forward. And because in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I do not want to move past this until people understand. You need to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. You can only do that with the Holy Spirit in your life. And I don't want you to think that, and I was there. I believed, I was raised in a Catholic church. Jesus was truth. The Bible was truth. I believed that. But it wasn't until I was a young man at 18 years old that I actually said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And so I want to encourage you today that it is vitally important that through the Holy Spirit, you confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. This isn't a day to move on thinking, well, I believe, but I've never said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You have to confess that he's Lord of your life. He wants your all. We sing about it all the time. We read about it all the time in the scriptures. He wants every little bit of you. And I'm telling you, and those of you who know who have strayed from him, when you've walked with him and strayed from him, you're not walking in freedom until you're walking with Jesus. And if you truly want freedom, if you truly want to live the way you were created to live, you need to submit your life to Jesus as Lord of your life. So I want to take a moment. I want to pray. And I want you, if you will, bow your heads, close your eyes, however you want to do it, and we're going to pray. I'm going to give a moment where you can say out loud, Jesus, you are Lord. Be bold. If you've never said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, today's the day. Scream it out. We are not a church where we're scared of some things being a little bit different. Okay? We are called to be different. We're called to be freaks in this world. So if you have not said, yes, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, I want to encourage you today. Let's pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that because it is crucially, vitally important. We are all souls in need of a Savior. Everyone is in desperate need of a Savior. But it's not just believing. It's the whole gamut. You have to say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Confess with your mouth. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I just thank you that you made a way for all of us. All of us that have fallen short of your glory, short of how we were created, how you have made a perfect sacrifice in our Lord and our King Jesus, that he took all our sin and took that time to be lonely and without you, carrying all our sins because you are a holy, perfect God and you can't have any sin near you. But he took on all that sin on that cross and suffered, was beaten, bled, and suffered a horrible, excruciating death. So that the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice could be made. And I just praise you for that, Jesus. And I praise you that, God, you had a plan that on the third day he rose again into everlasting glory so that we can walk with you all the days of our lives as you created and as you intended with right relationship, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that you send your Holy Spirit on this building, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fill each and every individual in here anew, afresh, wherever they might be in their walk with you, Jesus. They'll have a new encounter with you and be transformed. And Lord, I just pray that people will be able to shout out, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And if you have never said that, I just encourage you, shout it out right now. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Amen. And there's a transformation that comes when we say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. For you, those of you who said it this morning, there's going to be a transformation because we are to turn from the old and begin our new. And don't walk away from it. You all have a part and a calling in this mighty kingdom of ours. And it's about multiplying. He wants people that are multipliers. Some 30, some 60, some 100. But it doesn't say, I just want people to just come and hang out. He wants people that are multipliers. You put the four examples together. You figure out where you're at and what you're going to do and where you need to change to make that happen. We all have a part to play in this kingdom, a very important part as disciples to play in this kingdom. So multiplying, I want to further this, a little bit of understanding, more understanding of this whole multiplying concept. So we always talk about in this church, because there's really nothing else more important besides Jesus, the great commandment, which is 1A, love God, 1B, love people, right? You don't get one without the other. It's I love God and I love people. It's one and the same commandment when you really break it down and look at it. It's not a choice. Oh, I'm going to love God, but I'm not going to love people. Or I'm going to love people, but I'm not going to love God. It doesn't work that way. If you love God, as he says in 1 John, loving God means keeping his commandments. Well, the greatest commandment is love God and love people. So if you love people, what do they need? Jesus. You're going to share Jesus with people. If you truly, truly get and understand the great commandment, loving God, loving people, there is no way you can avoid the great commission, which is to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. You can't avoid it. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Go, make, teach, repeat. We have to be bold Christians. Let me give you a story of some people that believe in this philosophy. This guy, Ying Kai in China, he was called to China to share Jesus with people there. There's 20 million people or something like some ridiculous number of people where he was going. And he goes, how am I going to reach all these people? But then in his time with Jesus, he realized, I'm not going to reach all these people. You said, go and make disciples to everyone. It's not just about me. It's about everyone doing their part in the kingdom of God. So he develops T4T training. You can look it up online. It's a great system. But his whole emphasis is we share Jesus, and then we teach them, and then they go share Jesus, and they teach them, and there's the whole network. And he went from a few people to 1.7 believers in a decade. 1.7 million, 1.7 believers, 1.7 million believers within a decade. Not because he reached 1.7 million people, but because he trained people. He went, he shared Jesus, he made disciples. Those disciples went, trained, shared Jesus, and so forth and so on. And 1.7 million new believers within a short amount of time, when you really look at the grand scheme of things. 1.7 million believers, like 140,000 churches, but it does. It's all about souls. It can happen. You don't need to be anything special. You just need to be in love with Jesus, because that is special. Because that means you're a child of a most high, all-powerful, all-creating God. And that is very, very special. But let me emphasize something really quick about multiplying. Multiplying does not equal reproducing. For goodness sakes, you don't need another Paul in your life, okay? We know that, okay? So if you don't know, my name is Paul. So we don't want to make a bunch more Pauls. We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't want to make more of anybody else. God's made each and every person individually and uniquely for their purpose in his kingdom. And so we just want to share Jesus and make disciples of Jesus Christ. So in saying that, let me reemphasize, you don't have to be perfect. Nobody is. You don't have to have arrived, whatever that means, because nobody has. You just have to be willing to be used wherever you are. He takes you where you are. He uses you where you are. But he loves you so much, he just doesn't leave you where you're at. You just have to be willing. But you don't have to have conquered all your fears. You don't have to have conquered all your insecurities. You don't have to have conquered all your feelings of inadequacy. Freedom will come when you're walking as Christ has told you to come, and those things will go away. You just have to be willing to do your part. We all need it. It's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of all of us. Because if you're not doing your part, we're all suffering. We're not all growing to our fullest. We're not all loving to our fullest. We're not as healthy as we should be. We all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. Paul boasts about his weaknesses in 1 Corinthians. He boasts, in my weaknesses, I'm glad because then his glory shines. Be weak. Be real. It's okay. Nobody cares. He's going to use you. You're wonderful just as you are. So share Jesus. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. You don't have, there is no such thing as, oh, I'm ready now to share Jesus. There is no such thing. You are ready. If you've said, yes, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, you're ready. It's time. We live in a world of extremes. The extreme X Games, it's the extreme games. I was watching these young men, and it was crazy. They were doing these, they're taking their BMX bicycles, and they were like going about 30, 40 feet in the air, and they were flipping around, and then they were doing front flips. I'm like, how does he do a front flip? How's that work? The forces behind that. To me, it was amazing. And they're doing all these just extreme things. If they fell on their head from that high up, knowing what I do in life, they're going to break their neck, and that's not going to be good. And yet, we're into these extreme things. We got the extreme left and the extreme right. We got the extreme patriots that are building their compounds, about to take over America. We got the Islamic nation trying to streak terror into all the people. We have our extreme diets and our extreme everything. What do we not have a lot of extremes? Extreme Christians. We can toot our horn about this thing and that thing because it's our passion right now. But where's our extreme living for Jesus? Where's our radical living for Jesus? Where's our going, nothing else is more important than Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where is that? We're extreme to everything else except for extreme Christians. We want to be a people of multiplication. We want to sow and see 30s and 60s and 100 times multiplying. But we got to use our mouth. We got to share Jesus. We got to be submitted to his lordship. We got to say yes, Lord. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we've been taking. Use the gifts. Everyone's been given a gift that said yes to Jesus. You need to use these things for the benefit of the kingdom, for the growing of the church. It is vitally important. What if we were a bunch of extreme Christian terrorists? What's a terrorist do? Strikes fear into people, right? That's how they try to get about their agenda. Well, what if, some of you are looking at me, this is great, I love it. These looks of, oh my goodness, where is he going right now? What if we were extreme Christian terrorists to the devil. Wouldn't it be great to see him tinkling in his drawers? Wouldn't that be awesome? That we are so passionate about Jesus Christ and what he's done for each and every one of us that we can't keep our mouths shut, and we're sharing Jesus with everyone, and we're multiplying 30 and 60 and 100 times because we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. What if we were extreme Christian terrorists? You see the devil shaking his boots, peeing in his pants. It would be awesome. We would impact this region like never before. This county, this state, this country, this world, it would go anywhere. What if we are only part of the church universal? But what if every Christian out there said, today is the day I have said yes to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Today is the day I'm going to be intentional and share your good news with a reckless abandon, because I'm going to make the devil scared of me. I'm going to make him fear me. He's no longer in control. We have victory over him. Here it comes. Are you ready, devil? Because here we come. An army like ants pouring out of their outmound, going out and spreading and sharing Jesus everywhere. Think of the impact that could have. Where are we? Where are we? What person are you in the parable? Are you multiplying? Or are we just laid back in our Christian church, Western culture? I just come to church, that's good enough. We'll let the other guy do it. Extreme Christian living. Let me give you an example about extreme living. I heard a story from a pastor in India the other day. His name's Ajay Law. He had a couple from his church that they felt the call of God to go up into this village up away from the city and share Jesus up there in this place. And in parts, some of India is not so bad. Other parts of India, there's a lot of opposition to the gospel. So they went up there and they shared Jesus, and once a year they always had these baptisms. They were baptizing, water baptism, and they were baptizing, and they just did it once a year. That's just the way they did it. And they're doing 40 and 50 and multiples of people up in this region. And obviously with this, the opposition was getting pretty upset. So a group of men, and he said 30 or 40, I don't know the exact number, went into their home one night. They threw their child up against the wall, killed the child. Then they took the couple out into the woods. We'll keep it PG. There's some young faces in here. Tied the man up and then beat, and multiple people did very bad things to the wife right in front of the husband. So then Ajay's up there the next year at their baptism, and there was this man who just had all these horrible things done to him. He goes, "We only had 10 baptisms this year, Ajay." That's great. Why are you so upset about it? And he goes, "Well, it's not really about the numbers. See, it's that only 4 of the men that did those things to my family said yes to Jesus." Do you see the extreme living that we don't look at it all? That is an extreme passion. They intentionally went out, found out who all these men were, and started praying for them and intentionally going to their houses to share Jesus with them. That's extreme Christian living. We don't face that. We do not face that here. We might one day. I don't know. I doubt it. Probably not in my lifetime. Definitely not in Randy's. But I just wanted to give you an example that God wants people to say, "You are the Lord of my life." And when you truly submit your life to Christ and are walking in that freedom, there is nothing, no forgiveness, nothing you will not be able to do and accomplish in his name that he has called you to. You have a part to play. Play your part. Logan talked about it. Shine. A couple weeks ago. If you didn't listen to any of these messages, you can go back through on the website and listen to them. Shine. It is important that we shine for Jesus. What an example that couple in India is. What an example. I can't even imagine. As a man and a husband and a father, and especially as an American independent person, that's just not, I want to go to war. But yet, their response was, I faced persecution and suffering for the name of Christ, and now I'm going to go to these people that did this, and I'm going to share Christ with them. Extreme Christian living. Extreme. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, as Paul says. It is the power that saves the world. So how this all works, I don't want to leave you with a bunch of theory and just a, you know, some food for thought, although I want you to. And if you have any questions about everything, come talk to me. We'll get together this week. I'd love to talk to you more about this stuff. It's a passion of mine, if you can't tell. Go make, teach, repeat. How it all works. Number one, prayer. Mark's a great example. Mark Adams, one of the pastors, he's a great example. And he always brings it, reminds us, you have to bathe things in prayer. And every great movement of God that's happened started with people being called to prayer. Prayer is vital. But we need to be intentional about our prayer. So I want to encourage you, put a name, put a face, a soul, a person in mind. Not just, Lord, we want to see people saved. Yes, we do want to see people saved. I want to see, let's take an example, Joe. Now, Joe believes in Jesus. I fully believe he's saved. Let's just take the example of Joe. I want to see Joe saved. I don't just go and say, well, we want to see people saved. I want to pray, Lord, you've put me in Joe's life. I want to see him come to know you. He needs you, because everybody needs Jesus, period. Everybody needs Jesus. He needs you. This is the example you don't want to use. Jesus, Joe needs you. If you will, you know, get him the next promotion at work and get him a new truck, and if you will just, you know, pay off his mortgage and, you know, you will just do all these things in his life, I'm sure he'll come to say yes to you. This is how I hear God responding to that prayer.
Paul, dear child, I love you, but you're an idiot. I know what Joe needs. I created him, just like I created you. It is not your job to solve problems, to fix problems. It is your job to pray. Bring your prayers, requests, and petitions before me, and be obedient. I will do the rest.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's not... We don't know how God's going to work in people's lives. We just have to be willing to be obedient and bring forth our prayers. Lord, Joe needs you. I'm here. I'm willing. Simple prayers. We don't have to be some complex, you know, super geeky whatever prayer. We just need to say, Lord, I'm willing. Joe's in my life. Lord, I want to see Joe come to know you. Lord, I'm ready. Joe needs you. What do you want me to do? That's how you pray for someone. Be intentional about it. Put names to it. You really, truly need to do that. And I'm telling you, things will happen. But you better be willing to be used. Because when you start praying like that, God's going to use you. And it's going to be awesome. And you're going to be excited. And it's going to be fun. And it's going to be cool. And you're going to be truly walking in the freedom that he's called you to walk in. So I challenge you, start praying about it. Number two, your story. You know your story better than anybody else knows your story. And it's your story, so no one can tell you it's wrong. You know your story. You were, you met Christ, you changed. It's that simple. Who you were, somewhere along the line, you found Jesus. You said, yes, Lord, you were transformed. How were you transformed, and how is it now living with Jesus? You were, you had an encounter, you changed. It's your story. No one can argue with it. And people like to hear about other people's stories. Now, don't go on babbling forever, Randy. I'm just kidding. Come on. Because the next part, number three, is his story. So you want to share your story, but you don't want to go forever sharing your story. You want to share your story, but then you want to move on and share his story. We already talked about it. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did for us, and what people... what it takes to be saved. It's simple. Believe in your heart that he died on the cross for our sins. Everyone needs a Savior. He rose again on the third day, conquering death for all of us. The price has been paid. You can have a right relationship with Christ. You just have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Turn from your old self and into your new self through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know your story. You've been praying. You know your story. You know his story. You just need to share it. And then the rest comes naturally. But it will be a little bit of change for some of you. In Paul talks to Titus. He says, make them an example, or give them an example in everything. When he's talking about how to teach them and stuff. And so when it says everything, that means not just we're going to have a Bible study and we're going to go through this newest and latest and greatest book on how to walk with Jesus and that. It means everything. So that means you got to open your doors. That means us older people, we need to be plugging into younger people. And younger people, that means you need to seek out older people and make it happen. Okay? You don't need to wait for some person with gray hair to come up and you say, hey, I want to plug into your life. I'd like to share my life with you. No, you need to take the step, young person, and say, I need to see how to walk with Jesus. Will you plug into my life? And I'll tell you what. There's not a gray-haired person in here that wouldn't be honored by that and open their door for you. Now, some of us with gray hair, we're going to have to get a little uncomfortable because that means I'm going to have to invite young men and Andrew young women into the home. They're going to see our obnoxious three-year-olds and how we have to deal with that, how we have to love each other when sometimes we're a little bit prickly. All these things, they're going to see the whole picture because that's what life's all about. It's not just about Sunday mornings and small groups. It's about living. So you need to show them the whole picture. But young people, you need to make it happen. When I said yes to Jesus, I sought out four guys. One gentleman did seek me out. But I arranged all the appointments. And sometimes I just showed up at their house at dinner time because I was a single man with no dinner. And I was tired of eating Top Ramen. And there's families that cooked a lot better than my Top Ramen. And I'm telling you, those men shared their life with me. And it made a huge impact in who I am today. So I encourage you, young people, if you're new in the faith and you have gray hair, that's okay. You can still seek out someone with gray hair as well. But you need people in your life. We all need people in our life pushing us, spurring us forward. So I want to encourage you, young people, take the step, make it happen. Hey, I'm available here. Are you available? Sure, come on over. Now, we might not go play video games, something like that. You're going to come hang out with the family, see us put them to bed and this kind of stuff. But we're going to be showing you Jesus, all right? So, gray hairs, and those of you that will be gray hair one day, be willing to share your life, open your door for the younger believers. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Amen? Can we be a people that multiply? As a Westside family, we love well, without a doubt. I think people come here and they feel loved. Do we love well enough to share Jesus with people? To take that risk, to be a little uncomfortable, to get over our anxieties and our fears and, oh, they won't like me now. Are we willing to take that risk for Jesus? He laid it all down for you. What kind of soil and crop do you want to be? It's laid out for us. And you can do it. You're all awesome. You're all children of God that have said, yes, Lord. You're all walking with Jesus. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You're all a gift to the church, a gift to the body of Christ. Do your part. Amen? Jesus, I thank you so much for this body of believers. For the fact that we know that we are not it, but we are a part of your kingdom, a part of your growing church, a part of your miracles and your working in this world. We just thank you that you made a way so that we all, every single person, has a way to eternal life. You are so good, so gracious, so kind, so loving. We praise you, Jesus. You are incredible. You are just awesome. And we just submit our lives to you through the filling of the Holy Spirit, through the power of your Holy Spirit that you said will come upon us, so we don't have to be cowards. We don't have to fear anything. We just have to be proud that we are Christians and go out there and be extreme Christian terrorists. We just thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill us once again today, tomorrow, and every day so that we can proclaim your good news, so that we can proclaim to this world that so desperately needs you, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, we just thank you for everything. We just thank you that you've made a way, Lord. Help us understand that we are to go, make, teach, and repeat, Lord. That it's all about you. It's not about us. It's not about our comforts and our conveniences. It's about you, Jesus. And nothing is more important than you, Jesus. Guide us, show us, and Lord, encourage everyone here that if they are if they are dealing with any kind of inadequacy or insecurity or fear or anxiety, Lord, I just pray through your Holy Spirit, you will just rid that of them so that they can boldly stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. We can stand. We're going to close in worship. And what we're going to do is, of course, we're going to sing another song of worship. And during this time, if you're a visitor here, we offer the opportunity to remember what Christ did on the cross. We have communion up front and in the back on the tables. And also we have our baskets for our giving, our tithes and our offering. And also with Paul, I'm not going to add to anything that Paul said. It's also a time to ask, Lord, is there something in this or what is in this for me, for my life? And there's no condemnation. It's before the Lord. And the gospel is, it's simply love, sharing the love of Christ through you into the world and sharing the gospel, what he's done and what he did for us. So let's celebrate that now, and then we'll be done.